I'm David Martin Davies, and coming up on The Source, there are 27 candidates running for mayor of San Antonio. That many candidates presents a challenge for broadcast outlets like Texas Public Radio. Our airtime and your attention are our limited resources, so on The Source this week, we're providing half an hour to interview the top eight candidates, a selection based on polling, fundraising, and holding previous public office. There's more information about that rubric on our website, tpr.org. You can also see the schedule for when each candidate will be coming on The Source. Today, we're kicking off Mayoral Candidate Week with District 4 Councilmember Adriana Rocha Garcia, and in the second half hour, we're joined by District 8's Manny Pelayas. Our phone lines are open. You get to ask the questions to the candidates. Call in at 833-877-8255. That's what's coming up on The Source. But first, this news.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
Live from the John L. Santico studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. All this week on The Source, we're going to be hearing from the top eight candidates running for mayor of San Antonio. Now, there are 27 candidates. TPR News used a rubric to get down to the eight candidates that we're going to feature on air. We looked at the polling, fundraising, past history of holding public office to get down to the ocho, the eight. The candidates, each of them, will come on separately for half an hour. We open up the phone lines, and so you can ask the questions. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Our mission today is keep things positive. The candidates are asked only to talk about themselves and their vision for the city. This is not the time or the place to go on the attack. So, here we are. It's your opportunity to ask the questions for the candidates, 833-877-8255. Now, there's more information about this process and the schedule of all the candidates on our website at tpr.org. In the second half hour, we're going to get to hear from District 8 City Councilmember Manny Pelayas. But right now, we have Councilmember Adriana Rocha Garcia. And Councilmember Garcia, welcome to The Source.
Thank you so much for having me.
So tell me about why you decided that this was your next step, that you're going to run for mayor. What's your thinking like? What's your vision?
One of the things that I've noticed is that San Antonio can really get behind programs and services that empower everybody. The economic opportunities that are out there in our community, the city of San Antonio, our residents, they want everybody to be successful. And I tell everybody that it's going to take me an entire lifetime, for instance, to pay back what the community has done for me. Things like the San Antonio Education Partnership that was started by Mayor Henry Cisneros back then, or things like Pre-K for Essay that I know that can be life-changing for a lot of our families across the city of San Antonio. San Antonians have gotten behind that. The housing bond most recently, the $150 million that were approved by our residents. And that gives me great hope to be able to continue in that trajectory of service from our community members. But it's going to take someone that can rally the community together, that can have a vision for a better San Antonio. And I feel that I am the right person for the job right now. Mayor Nirenberg has done an incredible job on some key issues, and I think that we need to continue his leadership in some of those areas and also take a look at what hasn't worked. What can we improve on? How can we fix it? How can we expand it? And I feel that we need someone that has leadership skills and also the ability to look at things that have been happening, and that experience is critical right now.
San Antonio Express News editorial board, they have endorsed you. They talked to candidates. They said that you have demonstrated leadership while you've been on city council. You've worked with other council members across the board, across the city, and they thought that was something that really stood out. Could you respond to that? Do you think that was fair?
I was surprised, so gratefully surprised. We didn't think that they were going to endorse one candidate flat out. We didn't know if they were going to say, here's an external person, here's an internal person. in. And it was impressive to me that they were able to say, they were able to see what I've done. And one of the things that I have done is, again, just gotten the community together. Most recently, we saw that there was 53 migrant crosses from the tragedy that happened in District 4 with the 53 migrants that were found.
They died because of, you know, human trafficking.
Yes, absolutely. And so there was bad people, I will say, probably tore those crosses down. We rallied the community together. We put them back up by the very next day. And I feel that those are the things that, that show that leadership, that I will not be afraid to stand up for the right thing. We will be Compassionate City USA. We will continue to say that we are. But some of the things that had happened across the city in the last 6 years as my term on council has been unfortunately brought on was Lackland Air Force Base. That is where the novel coronavirus landed. We think about the residents. They were scared. They didn't know what would happen. They were calling our office and asking about these things. And so immediately got to work on that. We didn't know that it was going to come so close to San Antonio so fast. Getting access to vaccines in the Southeast and West Sides, that was also under my leadership. So I rallied a group of community members over the holidays, and I brought in a few of my council colleagues, and we were able to get vaccines. The hospital closure on the South Side was another thing that hit our district, but in reality, it affects the entire community.
Well, you were personally impacted with loss of life in your family because of COVID.
You know, it was a very hard time. So I needed to be there for my community, but also the deaths of COVID unfortunately did hit my family. My dad's side of the family, by the way, today's my dad's birthday. He forgot earlier because he has Alzheimer's, but I made sure to remind him. We'll have celebrate with a cake later. But on his side of the family, we lost 8 family members. 6 of them were in zip code 78207, which is a zip code where I was born. Unfortunately, one of the most impoverished zip codes still in San Antonio. And the reason why I want to work so hard to make sure that kids like me have the opportunity to succeed.
Well, bringing up public health, we're learning now that San Antonio Metro Health is going to be seeing layoffs due to the loss of CDC funds. They're going to no longer have the funds available for a vaccination program. Just as measles is raging through Texas, we've already had 2 deaths of young children in Texas due to measles. There seems to be a lack of transparency. I don't know, have they communicated to the council? What do you think needs to be done about this?
We found out in a memo that was sent out by the city manager last week, and we knew that there are federal cuts that are coming likely across these different programs. I've been asking in particular for 2 years for a plan B, for a plan C, for a plan D. And as a matter of fact, some of my council colleagues even started asking most recently when they saw that there would be this potential risk of cuts. And we did not learn about it until we saw it in a memo. I do have to acknowledge that Councilwoman Terry Castillo did a great job in agendizing some information on the measles in her last. She's the chair of the Community Health Equity Committee. And so we were able to talk a little bit about it, but we weren't told necessarily what departments would be affected the most. And you're right. You're absolutely right about the need to focus in on vaccines. The one silver lining about COVID-19 is that we realize that healthcare is important. Healthcare is critical to our community. We need a healthy community to keep the economy going, but also to make sure that we as San Antonians are able to live quality, healthy lives.
So do you think the city of San Antonio is going to have to find other ways to make up for that loss of CDC funding to maintain a robust vaccination program? Also, we're losing money for our STD and HIV services, a PrEP program that is vital in San Antonio. How are we going to keep those things going without those federal dollars?
We have to find the way to do it. We have committed to MetroHealth. And again, the silver lining was that we knew that as a city, we needed to do more to invest in healthcare. And so those are one of the things that we've asked the city manager to do is task him with how do we make sure that health is a priority for us in San Antonio.
All right, we're going to take a break here. We're going to be continuing our discussion with the candidate for mayor, District 4's Adriana Rocha Garcia. In the second half hour, we're going to hear from District 8's Manny Pelayas. I'm going to get Ted, I'm going to get you on the air when we come back from the break. He's got a question, and if you've got a question, call in 833-877-8255. It is the mayoral candidate week here on Texas Public Radio. You can go to our website to find out more information about when the candidates this week will be coming on. And this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp carrier dedicated to handling claims proactively and a commitment to helping injured employees and workers' comp policyholders get back to business. TexasMutual.com/claims.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies with me in the studio. District 4 City Council member Adriana Rocha Garcia. She is running for mayor along with 26 other people, but we only are able to accommodate 8 of the candidates. We're going to have them on this week. They polled, or the top in the polling, top fundraising. They have a history of holding public office. There's more information about that on our website at tpr.org. If you got a question for Council Member Adriana Rocha Garcia, call in 833-877-8255. And we do have Ted. And Ted, go ahead, Ted. You're on the air.
Hey, Dave. Great to be on here. Love your show.
Thank you.
And I love the appearance of the candidate. So Ms. Garcia, my first question is, my only question. What did Ron well, and what would you do to improve upon his work?
All right. So, Ted, thank you for that. So what did Ron, our current mayor, Ron Nuremberg, he is term limited out. How do you see his job?
You know, I think that Mayor Nuremberg stepped up at a critical time for the city of San Antonio and advocating, we were just talking about, for instance, healthcare and that the things that really we need in order to lift our community up. The Ready to Work program, although there's a lot of improvements that we could make, and that kind of answers a little bit of your second question, I think that it was critical to help empower families and to work with other organizations like Project Quest and Restore Education, et cetera, that are already in the business of doing this, but also Alamo Promise, the program that we continue to fund with Ready to Work, the different opportunities for career building, that's going to be critical. I'd love to continue to work with that type of organization because they're the experts. The one thing that I would do a little bit different is, again, place it back a little bit more on them. The city is not the expert at everything, and we need to work a little bit more. So those are some of the things that I would do different. But also, Ted, thanks for the question. The other major thing that I would do differently is build some additional collaboration amongst the council members. One of the things that I want to do if elected mayor would be to bring together, for instance, all of the Southside council members quarterly with the mayor. Let's see how we could work together to make significant progress for the Southside. Same with the Westside mayors, with the Northside, the Eastside, everybody that touches those areas of town. Our council members, they are incredible in their areas. There's, for instance, Councilwoman Phyllis Villagran, her focus on sustainability. We're going to need that going forward. Councilwoman Aldrete's, Gavito's vision on how we are supposed to work with the community, in particular the loose dog problems that we have in some areas of the city. We're going to need her leadership, her expertise. I'd love to empower the council members and work as a council member to actually be out in the districts, learning what the residents need and being just a little bit more present outside of City Hall.
Let's go to a voicemail that we got.
This is Steve Lee on the far northwest side. San Antonio Metropolitan Health District secretly negotiated a settlement with Lennar Corp's wastewater operator seeking a permit for the controversial Guajolote Ranch development. Without the mayor's and council's knowledge, and the city failed to make it public even after the Attorney General's office told it to do so. Given calls for greater transparency at City Hall and the potential for Guajolote Ranch to contaminate the city's drinking water, how would the candidate handle this situation? And would they continue the current mayor's opposition to the development? Dr. Rocha Garcia was one of three mayoral candidates, along with Mr. Altamirano and Mr. Courage, who recently toured the Guajolote Ranch area. Thank you.
So you have been out there. You got the tour. You're familiar with what's happening out there. There's a lot of concern about how this could impact the city's drinking water. There has been, as you said, secrecy regarding a settlement. We still don't have all the details. What can you tell us?
Sure. And thank you for that question, Mr. Lee. That is kind of like the third thing that has happened in just the last couple of months, I would say, or actually even the last few weeks that we hadn't known about. And so it's embarrassing to learn about it in the media or to learn about it from others. And so that's one of the things that we'll continue to press for. We do yearly evaluations, annual evaluations on the city manager. But I think that we definitely, in light of the raise that he just got by the residents of San Antonio, that we need to be able to expect more. Give us different heads up about certain things. I think that we need to focus a lot on water. Water infrastructure, water affordability, water reliability is going to be key in the next few years. I'm fortunate that I am a board member with the National League of Cities. We have been advocating for additional funding for water infrastructure at the federal level. And I think that it's one of these things that we're going to have to work with at the national level, at the state level as well. We know that there's a water, I believe it's called the Water Development Fund, that that might be proposed to the residents. But we have to invest in this. I feel like one of the things that we have been doing at the National League of Cities is focusing in on how to make sure that water is affordable and available. In 2014, the EPA had passed essentially a financial assessment and trying to see how they could help cities essentially make sure that water remained affordable. One of the things that happened is it wasn't until 2023 when they started reconsidering median household income as one of those critical components to see how they support a community. We're going to have to keep advocating at the national level, at the state level, and make sure that our residents are well represented. And so I feel that, yes, absolutely, we need some additional transparency at the local level to make sure that we are accountable to our residents. But again, at the end of the day, when the city council doesn't know something, they can't fix it. And that's one of the most frustrating things. Immediately when we came back from the tour, I started asking questions. I asked why Metro Health had not released that information. And I learned in the process that it was actually one of the SAW's attorneys that is working the case with Metro Health directly. That needs to change. Some additional information of what something especially as critical as water and literally the lifeblood of our community is water. We absolutely have to be aware about it before any further decisions are taken.
So speaking of transparency and honesty and trust and accountability, Project Marvel, there has been a lot of not that happening with this development. And recently with the destruction of the Institute of Texan Culture, that historic building, which this was a UTSA that went ahead and did that, and they thumbed their nose at the process of trying to work out what was happening. The wrecking balls continued despite, you know, the legal arguments. How does that happen? And does that hurt building the public trust that would be needed in order to complete this project? And where are you on this project?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's another critical example. Remember, I had said there have been a few things that have happened just recently, even within the last month. And I understand the city manager's office and the public administration side of it doesn't realize sometimes they're moving a really, really fast speed and they're just trying to do everything possible. But they absolutely have to involve the people that are out with the residents every day, the people that are representing them out on the streets, because we do get asked this sort of question. You know, Project Marvel, I love the Spurs. I feel that sports unite a community. However, I don't think that we should be financing this project with taxpayer money. We have to work with the Spurs ownership. We have to see if we could get some additional companies. For instance, we're thinking about the opportunities with nearshoring that are coming with the South Texas business expansion, if you will. How do we get them involved? How do we make the San Antonio Spurs the team of choice for them so that they could also be willing to to invest. But beyond that, we do need to have that plan with the residents. So two areas of the city, obviously the people that will be affected by the Spurs exiting the Frost Bank Center. What do we do with the area surrounding the Frost Bank Center? If you asked me, I would want education. I would want healthcare as a focus, as a priority focus in that area. How do we build around that for workforce development opportunities, et cetera? But also the displacement that could possibly happen as a result of the new arena, we need to get ahead of it before that happens. We can't allow this.
We've been here before. There were a lot of promises that were made, and those promises were not kept. We're doing through another major development to benefit the Spurs and the entertainment industry development there. And more promises are coming. And then we see them run the wrecking ball and the bulldozers at the Institute of Texan Culture while there's still some legal process that needed to be complete. It seems like, how do you ask people to trust the process when there is a violation of that process?
And that's exactly what we need to do. We need to hold the city administration accountable. I didn't know that there was going to, that process was going to start again until I heard about it in the newspaper. I understand there's a lot going on, but they need to step back and at least send us some information when this is something critical to the residents.
Let's go back to the phone, and we have Mary. And Mary, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My question is, with jobs not being saved anymore, I'm a senior citizen, and I'm worried about my job. And I'm worried that if I lose this job because of the lack of funds from the government, how am I going to find another job if I'm over 60 years old? What is your plan with senior citizens and training or any job search? What about the equal opportunity for a job?
All right, Mary, thank you so much for your call. So, Adriana Rocha-Garcia, your response.
So, I actually had a conversation last week with AARP. One of the opportunities that we feel, or that I feel, and that I presented to them as a platform, if you will, is expansion of Ready to Work. We know that seniors are needing, unfortunately, to get part-time jobs at some times. How do we expand that Ready to Work to focus in a little bit more of our seniors? We also recently asked for Ready to Work to consider some of the employer partners that maybe hadn't hired trainees yet from Ready to Work, or they were still waiting on hiring any, how we could expand that to federal workers that might unfortunately have their jobs cut. So I do think that there's an opportunity to zero in on Ready to Work and what it can do in particular for seniors, as we know that they're going to probably need to work, unfortunately, a little longer than they expected to. How do we give them access to some jobs where maybe they could mentor children so that they could come back again and help and impact our community?
People want to have safe streets. Public safety should always be one of the top issues we talk about in this office. So what happens with maintaining public safety?
With maintaining public safety, I have always made sure that we look at the needs of our residents. When I first started in my district, there was 36 sidewalks that were non-existent in different streets. And so we were able to allocate some of that bond money and some of the money that we get every year in our council budget to make sure that we address some of those pressing streets, especially the ones that have children that are waiting for buses, for instance, every single day in a street that is not safe. Lighting is critical, but sidewalks for the seniors, sidewalks that for folks who are in wheelchairs. We know that one in every seven residents in San Antonio has some type of disability. How we continue to make sure that they're taken care of, that they are able to age in place. And by the way, how do we perhaps use this upcoming housing bond, which we're hoping to get it sooner than the 2027 bond? We're having the city manager look at that.
Police substations, we've seen the immediate response and improvement with that one on St. Mary's.
Yes, and so that substation that's going up on the southeast side of town, it's going to be critical, but also looking at fire stations. How do we add additional fire stations as our city continues to grow so that response time is not as long for some residents?
So what is your major single top priority?
housing is, I would say, the top priority. We need to address housing at every single level. That will help with folks who are experiencing homelessness, which, by the way, are families, a lot of families across.
Because they're being pushed out of apartments and things.
Correct. And because if there's job losses, again, so that will be another thing that we have to grapple with. And then the missing middle as well. There's not enough housing. There's people who are on my staff, for instance, they can't afford market rate housing, but they're priced out of that affordable housing component.
Well, I do want to thank you, District 4 Council Member Adriana Rocha Garcia, running for mayor. This was the first of our 8 interviews that we're doing here this week with mayoral candidates. Coming up next, we're going to hear from Manny Pelaez from District 8. And thank you so much for talking to us today and keeping things positive.
Absolutely. Thank you.
So this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. If you got a question for Manny Pelaez, you can call up right now. We'll put you in the queue. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And The Source continues after this break.